Welcome to Forum on WSMI. I'm Sean Balint. This is a month where the nation is focusing on mental health concerns and the ultimate worst outcome of all, suicide. Certainly a growing number of concerns there, whether it be veterans returning from war, teens, what have you. We're going to focus on not only on those issues, but Montgomery County's innovative inroads in dealing with the issues as a new board and new programs have been launched. And joining us today on the program will be Dan Huff. Sean Balint with you here on WSMI, and we're here to talk with Dan Huff, the president of the Montgomery County Community Mental Health Board, the 708 Board. Yes, that's right. You may have run across the term 708 Board and looking over stories about the Montgomery County Board and wondered what it's all about. Well, we're here to talk about that and some exciting new developments that will certainly be helpful in today's age. First up, Dan, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you, Sean. Appreciate the invite and look forward to informing our county residents of maybe some of the things that are going on and that they may be unaware of.
Well, first up, tell us about the function and the history of the 708 Board.
It was a referendum that was put to the voters, I'm going to say about 4 years ago. I think we're in our third year, third cycle of applications. So it was at a time when taxes are not appreciated or understood always, or maybe even supported. The voters of Montgomery County passed a referendum allowing the collection of some taxes for the mental health. It's the Montgomery County Community Mental Health, which became a governing body. And we got that passed in a time where a lot of counties couldn't get it done. So whether the voters have ever been thanked, I thank them. Our board thanks them. And I know the recipients of the funds thanks them for allowing this to happen. To give you an idea, the 2020-2021 funding cycle, this year we had 12 applicants that totaled $833,267 requested. Our grant budget allows for $600,000 divvied out. So of those 12 applicants, we only were able to give out $600,000. And that sounds like a lot, but when you're faced with making a decision between who gets the money and who doesn't, we pull our hair out. There's seven members on the board. They range from social workers to law enforcement to folks that have disabilities or have children with disabilities. I probably missed that telling you, Sean, but the 708 board, we can only divvy that money out in support of three areas. And those three areas are developmental disabilities, substance use, and mental health. So that $600,000 that we give out, those applicants have to fall under one of those three or all three of those categories. It's really hard to listen to a small group that's called TASC. And I'm caught off here without the true acronym of what that meaning is, but it's a group of families that have autistic children or autistic members in their family, and they offer a collective support group for those people here in Montgomery County. All that money has to be used in and for Montgomery County residents, whether it's TASC or whether it's the Montgomery County Health Department or UCAN, which is Unified Children's Advocacy Network. They interview children who have been involved in abuse or criminal cases. So they help with that. And that is something that the 708 board is able to assist with. So I know I've kind of unloaded a lot of information out there, but that's what we're about and what we're doing. We're, our slogan is a support, the support for strong minds is the foundation for our future. And that's kind of the stance that we have taken. If we have strong minds, that gives us the basis to give a good future for some of our kids and residents.
Well, and before I dig into what we were planning to talk about, and that's the Safe School Helpline, more on that in a moment, but thinking of these times, relatively fledgling organization or board, how has everything that's developed this year changed what you do, and what kind of change in demand has it all created? This coronavirus, work at home, stay at home, school at home era that we're in.
Oh man, that's a heavy question, or the answer itself is pretty heavy. I mean, I think we're all finding ourselves in a situation that we really haven't ever seen. You know, we can go back to the Depression and say, yes, everybody was kind of stressed and strained due to the fact that we were worried about our finances. But in this case, our kids are worried about school, our teachers are worried about teaching them, our parents are worried about putting food on the table and how they're going to juggle today's schedule between getting our kids off to school, getting them home with these adjusted hours. And, you know, we're seeing those folks have to take vacation time unnecessarily, or it's necessary, but it's not during those times when we want to take our vacations. So we're putting our families first, but we're seeing so much stress on our long-term healthcare workers. We're seeing stress and mental issues with our first responders and our medical staffs. We're seeing an overload of maybe dependency issues with possibility of drugs and alcohol. We're seeing things that are escalated or maybe more numbers in those columns that we have had all along, but now we're adding to them. You know, the suicide rates. We have several billboards in our county that address suicide. It's not something that we want as billboards, but it's something that we need to have on our billboards because of the high rate. You know, these times are a lot different than what we've had, and there is overload on our programs in the county.
Well, let's talk about an exciting development, the Safe School Helpline. You talk about meeting the need of the times, a great development that went online last school year. Really, when I think of a time when you needed a boost, it was the chaotic end of last school year. Let's talk about that school helpline and what it has to offer. Anonymously reporting things like bullying, abuse, threats, or suicidal concerns. To me, that anonymity has to be a game changer, because I'd almost think kids feel like they have less privacy now, fearful of being found out because of the rumor mill, technology, phones, social media.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, this is not something, the format of it is not something really new. We've used it with Crime Stoppers. We've used it with the Illinois Department of Conservation, where the poacher hotline. You know, these hotlines, helplines, they've been around for quite a while. Well, what somebody, a company out in Ohio has done is they've developed this to be put in place in our schools. And everybody that's listening on the radio right now has a cell phone in their hand or in their pocket, or maybe that's how they're even listening to the show, is through a, podcast or what have you. Well, that's a resource that is in our hand all the time. And it's not that we need to be a, roving reporter type person, but we've had several events that have happened across the country that maybe had we known about them in the prior to them happening, maybe they could have been diverted or maybe that person could have gotten help. You know, whether it be reporting that somebody is, made a threat and we're not sure that it's going to go through. But, if a concerned student or faculty member or staff at the school or community sees that threat could be diverted or stopped, prevented, then through this Safe School Helpline, they can report it. And they do remain anonymous. The case, if I would call in and report something at my school, I would be, my phone call would be remain anonymous. They would assign a case number to it. So that case number would contain the information that I would be telling them. I would be done at the end of it. The school would be notified of my anonymous call. And then if once it's handled or within 3 days of my phone call, the caller, I could call back in with my case number and there will be a summary of the progress of what's being done. So I can call back in and check to make sure that they're going through with it. Last year, as you said, we started this program. The 708 board is providing the funding for it. And it's including all of our public schools, Nokomis, Hillsboro, Litchfield, Panhandle. It includes the Zion Lutheran School. It includes the St. Louis School, Catholic School in Nokomis. So it includes the Cornerstone, the Mid-State Cornerstone School in Nokomis. It also includes the ROE number 3 alternative school at the Panhandle Raymond location. So all those schools, now at the beginning of last year, we only had the public schools in it. Well, I felt like we were overlooking our private and our alternative schools, and I felt like those needed to be included. So this year we have added the parochial and the alternative schools. So they've all had their handouts and their literature and there's magnets and things like that that the kids, the students are receiving. They're getting sent home with that. The parents are gonna receive notification of this program. So the student can call in, the parent can call in, the faculty member can call in, the public could call in because they've overheard something and move forward with trying to help somebody. If it's, drugs, if it's bullying, if it's known of a theft, it's not, nobody likes to be called a narc or a squealing on somebody. And I think that's the importance of having the being able to remain anonymous. Let's face it, because we live in a small town doesn't mean that we're exempt from some of the big town problems. And if we can get our law enforcement aware of something that's going to happen before it does, I would much rather be proactive than reactive. And there's nothing wrong with being on national news, but let's be on it for the right reasons. Let's don't be added to a list of reasons that are not always positive. Montgomery County has a lot of good stuff here, and I'm proud of our county, but I don't want, I want us to be known for those good things.
Well, I know one of the toughest things, I can't think of anything any tougher than what you deal with in your day job, so to speak, even though it's not something that's truly a day job, it's a 24-hour job, is dealing with the suicides of young people. And it is difficult. It's not always easy to see the warning signs. There aren't always warning signs. And I know sometimes the person in peril would love to talk to someone and yet have no one know in their life, someone they'll never see again. Is this something from what I understand, they're talking to an operator. They're not calling 911 dispatcher in Hillsborough, but they're able to talk to someone who truly is a stranger in a good way.
Correct. You know, again, probably. So yes, they are talking to somebody when they get on there. And if it's someone in crisis, someone who is mentally in need of a professional, the callers need to only press the number 3 prompt. Once they call the 800 number, that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, holidays, weekends, doesn't know the special dates on the calendar. It's any day. They can call in there and they will be forwarded to a mental health counselor. And let's face it, you know, we as adults, we as children, we have good days and we have some very bad days. Suicide is something that is a tough one to take. My dad died of suicide. I don't usually say it that way. I usually say that he died of a mental illness. When our dad died, that was a tough one to take, you know, and it was something that it took me a few years to get past the grief, and I'm still probably not past that, but now I've focused my time to help get help to those that need it. To admit that you or I have a problem, for me to go to the doctor's office and sit down face to face with the doctor and say, hey, you know what? I really got a problem and I'm considering some bad things here. That's tough. So with this hotline, and especially in our teen years or in our childhood, you know, there's a lot of unanswered questions that we have as we're growing up. And so as a student in a school that already has seen maybe that kid's seen somebody else get picked on and, you know, doesn't want that to have anything happen to them. So they can get on that phone and talk to that mental health counselor. Nobody knows anything. He's at the safety of his own ability to talk to that counselor and tell him without knowing who he even is. But if that helps him or her get out of that darkness and understand what's bothering them a little bit, you know, it may take more than just that phone call. That phone call, though, can put them in touch with somebody else, you know, the next step with counseling. So, you know, that gives that student or that person the ability to talk to somebody that doesn't know them and they don't know each other. It just gives them that ability to talk openly and not be judged.
Well, Dan Huff, where can folks find out more about the helpline and the work of the 708 board?
So we do have a presence on our county website, MontgomeryCO.com. Our website has information, and it has our yearly time frame, timeline that we do things as far as when the applications are available, the deadlines that we have for that. The Safe School Hotline, if you have texting abilities, you can text 66746, then type TIPS, T-I-P-S, You can go to their website of safeschoolhelpline.com, or you can dial 800-41-VOICE and extension 359. There's plenty of ways to get that. Get in touch with Safe School Helpline or the Montgomery County 708 Board. You're welcome to get online and find our presence there on the county or on Facebook at Montgomery County 708 Board. And you can stay in contact with us there.
Well, Dan Huff, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for all that you do.
All right, sir. I appreciate you giving us the opportunity to let the folks here in Montgomery County know what we're doing and keeping things mentally safe and sound and offer these kind of programs to our residents.
Thanks for joining us for Forum on WSMI. I'm Sean Balint.